The opinions and viewpoints expressed in this recording may not reflect those of its sponsors, Microsoft, its partners, or employees.
Welcome to show number 43, recorded live on the 17th of June, 2008. This is also the first in a series of 12 podcasts of Christmas. In this podcast, I'm talking to Kyle Belay, the Coding Hillbilly. Kyle blogs over at codebetter.net, and in this show, we'll be talking about a number of things, particularly Alt.net, Inversion of Control, LLB-LGen Pro, nHibernate, nInject, Spring.net, Structure Map, and Windsor. We'll also be talking about Kyle's up-and-coming book, Brownfield Development in .net. Enjoy! Thursday, the 17th of June 2008, we're standing outside a bar, kind of in Soho, is it?
Italian Graffiti.
Italian Graffiti, it's called. We're at the Alt.net Beers 2. The last one was in May 2008, organised by Zeb. I have one of the attendees. I shall let Kyle introduce himself in a few seconds' time. We're going to be talking about Alt.net, and I understand Kyle has written a book, so we're going to get the plug for the book. Kyle, say hi and introduce yourself.
Hi there, I'm Kyle Belay. I'm known as the Coding Hillbilly online. It's codinghillbilly.com. I blog on codebetter.com. And I'm doing a book on brownfield application development, along with Donald Belchimer of Edmonton, Alberta.
Okay, let's take that in three parts. Let's talk about CodeBetter. You know, what's CodeBetter all about?
CodeBetter is a collection of bloggers. There's about 18 or 20 of us, and I'm fairly new to it myself. Just started in December of this year, so I'm still kind of finding my feet. I blogged for about a year and a half before that, and it's a lot of people that are. I'm very much into the Alt.net community. We have Jeremy Miller's blogging there. Jean-Paul Boudou was on there for a while, just recently went back to his own, on his own. There's Dave Larrabee and quite a few people here from the UK as well.
I think having visited CodeBetter a few times, I know that Ian Cooper from the London .net user group, he's up there.
Yes, he is, and I was hoping to meet him here tonight. I hear some very good things about him. I certainly like what I read about him on CodeBetter myself.
Very switched on is Mr. Cooper. Very, very switched on. So, Alt.net, what's that all about?
That's an interesting question. It's changed in my mind since I first kind of heard the term and saw what it was all about. That was the first meeting last October in Austin. I didn't go to the one in April, because it was a little further away than my budget allowed at the time. To me, it right now, my thoughts on Alt.net are more as a kind of a training mechanism, is getting ideas of things that I need to be learning about, things that I need to be aware of. And not just technologies, but what I've gotten more out of it is how people sort of consult with their clients, how they deal with, for example, say a development team that isn't up to par, or a client, a project manager, or a client that doesn't want you to use, say, nHibernate or some of these third-party tools. How do you introduce Agile into an environment? Those are the kind of conversations that I found more valuable, rather than, you know, what technology are you using and how are you using it, because those are the types of things that I can pick up on my own with examples.
Okay, you mentioned Enhibernate, you mentioned Agile. You know, what other technologies should I be looking at if I'm thinking of starting up as an alt.net developer?
I'm not sure if it's specific technologies. So the ones that are bandied about a lot are, for example, Enhibernate and the IOC containers like Winsor and Structure Map and Spring.net and there's a new one that I'm forgetting, Ninject. There's a lot of, you know, you can spew a lot of the names of the technologies. I think it's more about kind of a cultural shift, trying to, the idea in the original mandate, I believe, was choosing the right tool for the job, whether that's Enhibernate or LLBL Gen Pro, I hope I said that right, or some other ORM, or if it's rolling your own, if it makes sense and the situation's warranted it. One of the things that has kind of helped me recently was for a very small project I'm working on, a company of about 20 people in rural Manitoba in Canada. You know, the development team consists of me, and when I go away, the development team is going to consist of some very junior developer. You know, the company is run by my family. So the reason that I'm building it for them, the reason they're building this full-fledged application is because I know how to do it, right? And if I go away, then they're very likely not going to get anybody to do it. So, or if they do, it'll be somebody very junior. So I've been kind of keeping in mind that as a consultant, you know, I need to do the right tool for the job. And does that involve using something that a very junior developer is going to have trouble grasping? Maybe not. So I've been kind of choosing my technologies based on who the next person is going to be. How is it going to be maintained afterwards?
One thing that came out at the last alt.net beers in London last month, after a session at Skills Matter on the Castle framework, was that, hey, it's not .net. Let's rewrite everything and make it .net. And that was a big issue for the alt.net developer after he left the project, that the developers that took on board his work effectively rewrote everything into vanilla.net, which is an issue. You know, what's your take on that?
That's a common reaction when you come onto a project. If you see something, you don't understand it, let's rewrite it. It's kind of our first reaction to something. And there is an article I read a long time ago. It was Joel on Software. I forget his last name.
Spolsky.
Yeah, Joel Spolsky wrote. It was on what Netscape did wrong. Netscape, between Netscape 4.7 and Netscape 6. Where they scrapped the whole thing and they rewrote it from scratch. And his take on this, and I've always remembered this article, is the existing code, you know, it worked. It wasn't pretty, but that line of code in there was to fix a bug with, like, an HP printer that nobody had caught the first time around, and that all that bit of knowledge is going to be lost. So I'm very leery about people who say we need to scrap this and rewrite it, which is... one of the reasons that I kind of decided to do a book on brownfield applications, because brownfield applications, there's a lot of knowledge in there. There's a lot of history involved, and it's a whole different way of programming. But there are certain aspects of it that you need to consider compared to, say, a greenfield application, or even a legacy application, or the traditional version of a legacy application.
So, tell us about your book then. You know, who's the publisher? When can we expect to see it? And, you know, give us a rough synopsis of what it's about.
When you can expect to see it will depend on if you ask the publisher or if you ask me. The publisher is Manning. They contacted quite a few people, and Donald Belcham and I took them up on their offer. And it's on a brownfield application, is one that is... kind of follows in the continuum between greenfield applications and legacy, where they're existing applications, but they're not very, very old. They're still actively developed. You're still working on features, but they may not follow the proper coding practices or patterns. There may be a lot of friction that the development team is dealing with when they try to add new code to it. So it's on, first part of the book is on setting up an ecosystem for it, you know, setting up a nice version control structure for it, getting into unit testing and continuous integration. The second part of the book, which we've just started, is on what to do with the actual code once you've got your ecosystem set up, you know, designing towards some patterns when they make sense, adding IOC container to make your life easier. And the whole premise of the book is to try to get developers focused on the code, try to get them so they don't have to think about issues that they normally have to deal with if they haven't put some thought or effort into them.
So, when can we see the book? You know, can we get early access to it? I know Manning do a very good early access program.
Yeah, the first four chapters are available on early access program, and I believe chapters 5 and 6 are written, and hopefully will be on there within the next couple of weeks to a month. The expected publish date, or the one that they've got on the website, is December 2008. Might be a little aggressive given our current travel schedule, but we're still shooting for December 2008 for it.
And who's the book targeted at? Is it targeted at fairly serious alt.NET developers, or is it targeted at a fairly mixed audience of beginners reaching up to moderate developers?
Well, I don't want to speak for Donald, but I'm not targeting alt.NET developers specifically. I've certainly taken a lot of ideas from what I've seen on the message board and what I've seen in presentations and at the the alt.NET summits. I would say it's targeted more for junior to intermediate level developers that are looking to learn more about the concepts of some of the topics like IOC or continuous integration and a practical implementation of them in the real world.
And do we have a website for the book? You know, I mean, I know Manning, or I've got manning.com. Do we have a specific website that you've got to go to?
Yeah, it's manning.com/Belay. That's my last name, Balley. And I believe that was just because I came before Donald's last name in the alphabet. So.
Good stuff. Do you have a blog and an email address you're happy to share with listeners?
Yes, I'm at belay.codebetter.com. That's, again, Balley.codebetter.com. You can also find me at codinghillbilly.com, which will redirect you there. My email address is kyle@belay.org.
Kyle, thanks for your time.
Thanks very much.
The music used in this podcast was provided by Kevin MacLeod. Visit his website at www.incompetech.com. That's INCOMPETECH. This was a Craig Murphy.com production.